बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
Then one more theme is there. Please read that. Read the one more theme.
A Vaishnava should never become proud of having controlled senses than other Vaishnavas. Instead, always remain humble and meek and offer respect to others without minimizing anyone else's position.
It's the same purport. Same purport only. Yeah. So I will show you one interesting. So I asked this question some years ago about austerity. Actually, it's a little long question, but I will cut it short for you. The question was, Maharaj, we are speaking, we are hearing lecture about Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, gradually refining his austerities. You know, he is inviting Mahaprabhu to his place to eat for 2 years. After that, he started collecting alms from the visitors to, you know, temple, standing at the Simhadwaram. Later, he was collecting at the booth. Later, he was collecting what the Thailanga cows leave. Yeah. In this way, he is improving his austerity. And later on, Mahaprabhu goes to Raghunath Das's place to taste from the pot whatever he is eating. Yeah. And Mahaprabhu said, it's like nectar. Then I asked Maharaj, we talk all this katha, big katha we talk. But then when you go downstairs, you go and eat pizza. We are eating very attractive, opulent type of foods. So is it not a kind of hypocrisy? Yeah. That we are eulogizing a great soul for being so strict and pure and everything, and then we do, at least, you know, if you are not so strict like him, we can at least be little bit follow, if we cannot fully follow. So is it not important for Vaishnavas to follow austerity and following in the footsteps of, we cannot imitate great souls, but at least we should follow. Either I asked Maharaj. Then Maharaj answered, you can see here what he said. So he said, human life is meant for austerity, but the real austerity is to act for Krishna, he said. And then he said, some 8 points he said. The first point is, read it quickly.
Austerity is performed.
Those two lights can be switched off, huh? Those lights, it will be more better. You can do that?
Yeah. Austerity is performed.
See, the difference desire. Between austerity and penance, Maharaj said that also. See here, what is austerity?
Strictness, being sober, grave. Severity, seriousness, this is austerity. Penance is self-punishment, atonement, apology.
Yeah.
Austerity is performed with the desire. Goal of austerity, give up sense gratification to please Krishna. To intensify our offering of bhakti. So the essence of austerity is, do not engage in words or activities that will please us, but engage in words or activities that will please Krishna. Sense gratification and bhakti go ill together. So we accept such austerities to use all of our energies in Krishna's service.
So that is why we do austerity. The first thing he said, the goal of austerity is to please Krishna and give up our sense gratification. So therefore, great souls do austerity for this purpose. Then he said,
austerity can harden our heart. Austerity for bhakti softens heart. If we lack the right attitude, when austerity is performed.
No, austerity can harden our heart if we lack the right attitude. Yeah.
When austerity is performed with
the right attitude is performing austerity for pleasing Krishna. But somebody may want to perform austerity to show off. No. Ekadashi, last 10 years I have been doing nirjal, somebody says. That means they want name and fame through that. Correct, no? Somebody says, Prabhu, in Kartik month, I didn't touch single sweet. So he wants others to say, oh, you are a great soul. Correct, no? So therefore, austerity performed for show-off will harden the heart. Austerity performed for doing bhakti will soften the heart. Yes.
So when austerity is performed.
Yeah, yeah, correct. That's all. The next point.
Is my austerity aimed at
showing off
proudly and earning fame and popularity? So austerity is not for self-aggrandizement.
Yes.
Or is my austerity aimed at to maximize Krishna time and intensify my bhakti.
Yeah, and then he gave examples.
Raghunath Das Goswami never thought no one else can do it except me.
Such a thought never passed his mind. Yeah. Yes.
Although it was true, no one else could imitate.
Actually, Mahaprabhu's followers are all like that. Haridas Thakur, nobody can chant 3 lakh names like him. Raghunath Das, nobody can eat so less like him. Once in 3 days, taking little buttermilk, you know, that kind of austerity. If you see many of the followers, and nobody can be as self-controlled like Ramananda Rai, who used to decorate the dancing girls for the Jagannath's Rath Yatra, you know. So, nobody can be as humble as Sanatana Goswami. You know? So, Mahaprabhu had unparalleled disciples, followers. But none of them thought about that particular quality in their lives. That I am so great, they never thought like that. Yes.
They never wanted to sleep under different trees to become famous.
Not that they were sleeping under trees and requested, please click a photo and send it in WhatsApp.
To intensely surrender, one sip of buttermilk. Oh, I have wasted this time of sip for sense gratification. He wasn't proud of his austerity. He was ashamed for wasting time for sip. This is how intensely he wanted to practice.
Not only they were not proud, they were actually condemning themselves for even what they were accepting also. That is too much, huh? Isn't it? Just for even buttermilk, that much time also, he said, why am I wasting time? Like that he said. Like Haridas Thakur said, no, I am unable to chant my rounds because my body is healthy, my mind is sick, he said. But actually the opposite was true. So, that was their intensity. Yes.
Austerity not for austerity's sake, austerity for service sake. Austerity for maximizing absorption in seva. Six Goswamis wanted to minimize their bodily needs to maximize their time of absorption in the service of the Lord. It was not for the sake of austerity itself. It was for the sake of service.
They wanted to increase their seva by minimizing the bodily needs. Actually, sometimes a person minimizes bodily needs to become popular. Popular mendicant among the people. So, here he is saying that in case we reduce our, like imagine on Ekadashi day, somebody is fasting, doesn't eat even fruits or some people are Falahari, some people are Dugdahari, and some people are, Sabdanahari, you know. So, Dalahari, you can have like that, but there are some people Nirahari. So, but Nirahari Baba, what is he doing? If you go and see an ashram, he's sleeping in the bed, covering himself with a blanket, and the manager comes, hey, get up. Prabhu, what is this? You are sleeping on Ekadashi day, all are chanting, what are you doing? He said, Prabhuji, I am fasting from water also. So, he is thinking that if I sleep out the Ekadashi day, so that when I get up, it will be Dwadashi. So, is it useful to have Ekadashi like that? So, austerity not for austerity's sake, but austerity for service sake. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, if you are going to do such austerity, better get up, eat some grains also, eat and do some service, he said. Want you to do service.
Krishna sees sincerity of purpose, not just the external act of austerity. King Priyavrat also was living similar to that, but was asked to get married. It was more austere for him to be a king than to be a Goswami. Austerity really means no sense gratification for me. Utilize all time and energy for Krishna. Krishna sees sincerity of purpose.
What he is saying, six Goswamis are very austere. Priyavrat was also austere. But greater than the austerities that he was performing before was to get married and be the king of the world, which he accepted because of superior order. So Maharaj is here bringing on a very interesting point. You may be doing some physical austerity, but you may be asked to do something which you may not want to do. That means you have your own plans and ideas on what you want your spiritual life to be. It happens with people. Some people are very proud of their austerities, but you tell them, Prabhu, can you give up this department and take up that department? Because there we need a person. They will say, no, Prabhu, sorry, I cannot do it. I don't like it. That means as soon as I have my own liking, then that means I am not truly austere. So here he says that, no sense gratification for me. Utilize all time and energy for Krishna. So, That is another nice point he is making. That means Krishna sees sincerity of purpose, not just external act of austerity. He is saying sincerity of purpose means willingness to bend, willingness to surrender, willingness to cooperate. Because sometimes austere people become brittle. They don't bend or cooperate. Therefore, he is saying. Yeah.
An austere Vaishnava serving at Radhakund becomes a ghost due to his proud offensive mentality.
That's what I told you the other day. I read this Rupa Kaviraj.
Rupa Kaviraj was really austere, but he insulted Krishna Priya, a lady devotee. Krishna was not concerned that he was chanting holy names and performing austerities at Radhakund. Krishna made him a ghost. That means there was pride in his heart due to learning and austerities.
So that Rupa Kaviraj was proud of his learning as well as his austerities. So he ended up becoming a ghost. So neither his learning nor could his austerities could help him. Correct, na? So therefore, he says that austere devotee, even serving at Radhakund, can become a ghost because of offensive mentality. That means austerity should not lead to offensive mentality. That's the lesson. And then he said,
Goswamis are never proud of their austerities.
Like,
they thought themselves always very fallen. That type of austerity is needed.
And this is opposite of the previous one. Rupa Kaviraj's example is he became proud and Goswamis never became proud. Correct, no? Yeah.
What we learn from the Goswamis is that they were never proud of their austerities, but thought that they were always fallen. They were always very, very humble. Whatever they did was to increase the intensity, to increase their devotion. That is, that type of austerity is needed. Goswami standards of austerities put us to shame and make us humble. They are giving a standard that puts all of us to shame. Raghunath Das Goswami gives a standard that makes us feel, I am a fallen soul. Whenever you get proud, think of Raghunath Das Goswami. I am attached to sambar, rice, sabji. Just see Raghunath Das Goswami.
Like that. Because I am from South India, Maharaj thought I like sambar, rice. So he quoted that example. See, some of the points which you can easily remember is the austerity should not be performed that makes us proud, like Rupa Kaviraj, and austerity should make us humble, like the Goswamis, when they performed austerities. You know, they were very humble, like the previous point which we read. They always considered themselves fallen. And they only did it for increasing their intensity, he says. And the another thing we learnt is, and their austerities are so high. Prabhupada says in Yuktahara Vihara, say a verse, purport, that the Goswami slept only 2.5 hours every day. We sleep 6 hours and still we are not satisfied. So therefore, their austerities put us to shame. They perform. And another first thing we heard was, they do austerities only for pleasing Krishna. They have no other purpose in performing austerities. And another reason he said is, they want to intensify their devotional service. They are not satisfied with their low standard of dedication. They want to increase their dedication and intensify. So, what example was given for the intensifying? Why am I drinking? Why am I wasting time for taking this one cup of chas once in 3 days? That much they want to increase their intensity. So they want to please Krishna, they want to intensify the devotional service, and they don't do austerity for austerity's sake. Austerity for austerity's sake means somebody is fasting but sleeping without doing service. Austerity should be done for service sake. That was another thing, correct, no? One should do austerity, along with that one should render service also. So increasing intensity, rendering service, for pleasing Krishna, not becoming proud, becoming more humble. These are the points, it is when we are doing austerity. Anything else you remember? Previous ones. Goswamis are never proud of their austerities. Yeah, correct. The thought of themselves very fallen. Yeah, another thing was, yeah, sincerity. That means in austerity, like for example, if a guru tells you, live under a tree and you live in a big bungalow, that means a person is breaking the rule, isn't it? Or when the guru says, no, don't live under a tree, Priyavrat, live in a bungalow, he says, and Priyavrat accepts. That means one is called sense gratification, another one is called sense abnegation. See, sense gratification means living in a palace. Sense abnegation means living under a tree. But austerity means what? Out of the two, whatever you are told to do, you do. For example, if Guru says, you give up your renounced order, Prevrat, and go and become king of the world. So he accepted that. That is real austerity. Correct? Because for Prevrat, accepting kingship was austerity. He accepted that. And if he was adamant saying that, no, I will not do it, then there is austerity for austerity's sake, which he is doing. Because it is not for pleasing Guru and Krishna. That's clear, no? That's what he says. So we need sincerity of purpose, he says. Yeah. So these are the points, he says. Very nice points. Okay. Actually, why did I show about austerity? Because when we read it just now, there was some talk about austerity here, no? Where was it? Correct. He became proud of being more sense controlled. That means even if one controls the senses, one shouldn't become proud that I am very sense controlled. That's the point. Another Vaishnava, yeah. Instead of always remaining humble and meek, instead of always remain humble and meek and offer respect to others without minimizing anyone else. And Shastras abound with stories and pastimes of people, how when one has opulences, they belittle others, or minimize others. Whether it is Ravana, or Kartavirayarjun, or Dambodbhava. It's not that only Asuras do that. Even anyone else can do that. So, that's what's a kind of warning. Yeah.
Question.
Yeah? Yes.
Like you mentioned that seeing these examples of great devotees, we get inspiration to do that. And we come to conclusion that certain austerities and penance is conducive for my bhakti. But still we fail to do it. Is it because of lack of conviction or means where the fault lies? We desire to do some austerity for our benefit.
Desire alone is not enough. There are three factors. You know? First of all, you need to have a desire to do austerity. So once the desire comes, then you need to know the knowledge about how to perform the austerity effectively, correct? No? Then you need the skill to do, the desire to do. What's the third one? Of course, you need to. The knowledge includes the purpose also. The knowledge of the austerity includes the goal of the austerity also. Will, actually, will is the desire. And desire to do. Determination to do. There was another word which is not coming to my mind, but determination is correct. Actually, will also includes determination. Your desire to do austerity. Desire, will, determination, they are all included in that. I'll check it. I have in one place. What is that? Tenacity is saying. No. What is that? Attitude, they are saying. The attitude required, the right attitude required for performing austerity, for doing anything. I have in one place, only I don't know where it is. I have to search it. I don't know the name of the file. I have it in one place. Later if I look at it, I'll show you. But for doing anything, it is not enough to have just a desire. Sometimes our desire is very weak. You know, we are not very strong in our desire. Like for example, how many of you would like to sleep at 8:30 and get up at 2:30 every day? Yeah. So we all have desire. Correct, huh? We all have desire, but we are not doing it. Somehow or other we sleep at 9:30, 10, and we get up at 3:30 or 4. And every day we lament again. Alas, one more day I got up late. And then bhago, dodo, you come to Mangalarti. You know? There is no reading, no hearing like this. So everybody has a desire, correct? No? So after having the desire, then what else can be done? There one is LCD, we say, no? Learn, commit, do. These are the steps we have to follow. Any quality you want. You want humility, you want determination, you want, rise early in the morning, anything. I'll show you that LCD if you want. See here, how to transform knowledge into realization. Right now I am sleeping 2 hours in afternoon, somebody is saying. So now how he can change now? See, he can completely stop sleep. How, I will tell you. First you learn, what all you have to do, see here. Desire, strongly to give up the lower nature. Plan systematically to change. Smart plan means what? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and time bound, we say. So, for example, instead of sleeping, you can take the example of rising early in the morning. So, for example, if I want to plan systematically, how will you plan, tell me? For example, you want to get up at 2:30. How will you plan? Wind up very early. Is it good to sit with the computer till 8:30 or 8:45? Because eyes are very dilated when you use computer. So, we can wind up the computer by 8 o'clock or 7:30 only. So, then we do some walking and chanting. So, 8:30 we go to bed. So, that is planning. And then here lectures and sutra is learning. And especially about the lectures glorifying the morning, early morning rising. You know, some lectures may talk about that. I have spoken some lectures on the glory of early morning, when early to bed and early to rise. So, we read such kind of lectures to get inspiration. And then we determine to bring about the change by japa. So, in chanting of the holy name, after the chanting, you can pray to Lord, please give me the determination to rise early every morning. We can do that. Be determined. Actually, according to scientists, they say 51 days if you do something, that becomes a habit. They have done research. That means 51 days you have to get up at 2:30 or 3 in the morning. After that, it will become your second nature. Wonderful, no? So one boy told me, Proji, after 25 days I gave up. Then I told him, now you have to start from the 25th day and do another 51 days. Then only correct. Continuously you have to do 51 days. Further, you have to be determined to do it. Maybe a group of devotees can jointly do that. If you are living in a room, all the roommates can decide. Sleep at 8:30, get up at 2:30. Correct, no? We make a mechanism where lights are switched off at 8:30. We should do that in Kunjibari temple like that. Yeah. So, these are all coming in learning. Then commit. See here, commitment. What is the commitment is taking? So, I will not sleep in the afternoon from now. So, we can say, you know, I will sleep early at night. That is commitment. And I will rise early in the morning. So, we need utsaha nishya dhairya. See? Utsaha means sincerely, seriously endeavoring with intelligence. And nishya means persistent endeavor. To put certain toil, not to give up at any cost. And dhairyat is patience. These come in commitment. Yeah. Commitment is utsahan. You have committed to that. And nishchayat and dhairyat, these come in doing it actually. Prayers for superior health, blessings and goodness, all, then you get realized wisdom. This is a three-step process. Learn, commit, do. Yeah. For example, in learning, one more thing comes. Even scientists have written articles on benefits of sleeping early and rising early. They have written articles also. We had 4-5 page article they had. Scientists are glorifying sleeping early. You are called Devakishita Prabhu, our doctor. He can tell you what all different things secrete in the body after 9 o'clock. It is very beneficial to sleep early. You get tremendous energy if you sleep early and rise early. So, like this article's reading also gives us a boost. Mind tells us, better to sleep early, I will be more healthy. You know, mind gets some nice inputs. So, one example, I told you, like this, we can do it.
Guruji, if commit level is failing, that means the learning is not sufficient?
Yes,
is that
correct. If you are not able to commit to a certain plan, if you are not committing, that means you don't have determination. So, sometimes you have learned benefits and everything you know, but you are not convinced sufficiently. Or your old habits are dragging you. It's not allowing you. So then we have to associate with people who are doing it regularly. You know, then by seeing them and it's contagious. It will jump to us. Then we will also do. So we can desire, plan, hear and be determined. And then utsaha nishya dhairya, you know it already. It's very easy. Actually, you know this also, no? This one. I'm working. any conditioning you want to overcome. You have to change three things: attitude, behavior, thinking. See, for changing, okay, this we will go ahead here. I'll show you. Okay, this one. See, for changing thinking, okay, for changing attitude, only one thing we have to do in life. Please remember this. What is the one thing? Accept responsibility for the habits we have picked up, for our careless intentions. Don't blame others. You know, you don't say that, Prabhu, that fellow was sleeping in the room, so I also slept. You know, don't say like that. Prabhu, in my room, you know, nobody wakes up, Prabhu, in the morning before 4 o'clock. What can I do? Don't blame others. But take responsibility. I want to wake up, so I will change the room. Instead of this room, I will go to that room where everybody gets up early. Correct, no? Like that. So accept responsibility. But 99% people don't accept responsibility. They always blame others. Like that they do. The next one. And for changing thinking, two things you have to do. You observe yourself logically in every situation, like this. Go out of yourself. Watch. Why this late waking up habit is, you know, attacking me? How did I get into this habit? What can I do to diffuse this? I refuse to allow it to hook me. I will give up my bad association. I will replace it with good company. So you have to look at yourself, how I can become a better individual. So observing ourselves is called self-observation. And this one, manage your self-talk, be positive. See, here he is saying about dirty sides. You can say that, you know, I will always get up early in the morning. Be positive. Don't say, oh, I will sleep also early and get up also late. No, don't say like that. I don't know whether I can really get up. Don't be negative. Be positive. So thinking means two changes you have to make. From negative to positive, we have to change. From negative to positive, instead of negative, we should be positive. That is one thing. Another thing is self-observation, like this. Go outside yourself. See, that fellow is outside and looking at himself. So observing yourself and your thought process, your mental scripts, and positive talk. These two are going to change our thinking. Thirdly, our behavior, how it will change. Discrimination, determination, discipline. This is the most important thing, because discrimination comes from Shastric study. Shastras tell you what is right, what is wrong. And determination comes by japa, and discipline comes by regulation. And how does regulation come? Regulation comes by obedience to Guru. How obedience comes? Obedience comes from respect. How respect comes? Respect comes from submissiveness. So begin with submissiveness. Submissiveness leads to respect. Respect leads to obedience. Obedience leads to regulation. Regulation leads to discipline. And then when we have a very good discipline, our life is regulated. Then the discipline includes very nice Shastric study, japa, everything. Then discrimination will come from Shastric study. Determination will come from japa. Therefore, if discipline is good, other two will also come. Correct, now very easily. Because discipline includes early rising, early sleeping, nice japa, nice study. Everything is included in discipline. So, you have a choice always in every situation. You don't have to break. This is a new you, changed person. You can become a changed person. That's all. Yeah. So, I have shown you some very, that was interesting slide, isn't it? What happened? Why it's not coming? Here I have put this one, you put this. So, okay, I'll quickly ask a question. We can change our attitude by doing only one thing. What is it? Accepting for our actions, our behaviors, everything, and not blaming others. My Lord, it's a big step if we can do this. Changing our attitude, not blaming others. Kamsa was blaming destiny for his killing 6 children. He said that the children must be actually supposed to be die and killed by destiny. He was blaming destiny. He said, we should take responsibility. And how do we change our thinking? So from negative thinking, we should go to Even negative situation also we should see positive. Correct, no? Like Vidura was kicked out of the palace, but he took it as a nice opportunity for pilgrimage. He went like that. So we have to convert misfortune into good fortune. And another way we can change our thinking? Observing ourselves? Outside, yeah. Self-observation. And how do we change our behavior? Discrimination. Determination. Discipline. So, how do we arrive at discipline? Where do we begin with? Submissiveness. Respect. Submissiveness to Guru. Respect to Guru. Then? See, respect means you offer respect. Obedience means do what he says. That is obedience. And then? Regulated lifestyle. And then discipline, yeah. So, and then where does the discrimination come from? Shastric study. Because Shastra teach what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is beneficial, what is non-beneficial. Shastras tell everything. And where does determination come from? Napa, chanting of the holy name. So, now you have the clue, everything you know. If we get these three things, thinking, attitude, thinking and behavior, change these three things, you are a changed person completely. It's possible for everyone to change. And another formula I told you, LCD, L for? Learn, commit, do. First learn. Now, learning includes these three learning also. Now, we learned just now. What is it? We learned about changing behavior, changing thinking, changing attitude. That is also learning. Now, you are learning about it. Then, you have to commit. We have to commit. Commitment is necessary in any path. Two business people came together and one of them was suggesting brilliant ideas on how we can make a business and expand it. Other person said, how much money will you put? He asked him. Money? Don't talk to me, he said. Similarly, Prabhupada also in India, many people gave him ideas on how we can preach. But when Prabhupada told some old man, can you help me with some money? They said, no. That we cannot. Prabhupada said, India is famous for giving suggestions. Old people gives ideas and they will not commit. So we want what type of people? Committing people. You have to commit. One commitment you can do, for example, coming 1 week, I will get up at 3 o'clock every morning. Like that, we can make commitment. Correct, no? Instead of taking a very long period. So, learn, commit, and then get into action, do it. Wherever you are, from there, start it. Don't worry about the past. Worry how I can do now. So, anything else you think we can take away, apart from rising early in the morning, like not sleeping during the day, that we can take away. Anything else solid? Avoiding overeating, my Lord, is the most difficult one. Ekadashi, more rounds, very good. Instead of 16, I'll chant 25 at least. Possible. Yes. I have willingness to take up some services. Yes. Every day, minimum book reading of half an hour, 1 hour. How many of you like the idea? My idea is wonderful. We have to implement, correct? No? Bhagavad Gita as it is remains as it is on the cupboard. So, any other good plan for increasing our commitment for some good thing in spiritual? These are all very good ideas. Yes. Like reading, hearing also, yeah. So, in this way we can, yes, going out of the way and doing some service. Like agreeing to wash the bathroom at least once a month. You know, they have put a list. I was asking Sharana Prabhu, he said only once in a month one devotee is supposed to do in the ashram. It's not very difficult. So, we can take up in this way. Actually, I was telling all these things because Chitraketu's behavior towards Shiva, this is a very good example for all of us to be cautious. So, we take a commitment that I will not unnecessarily give feedback to people. That is also one good, you know, commitment. I won't just go around giving feedback to different people. Instead of that, I will change my behavior to giving compliments to people. If I have a habit of finding fault with people, what I do? Go around, say, Prabhuji, you sang Mangalati, very wonderful today, thank you. Go to another devotee, go to the kitchen and say, Prabhu, today chapati is ecstatic today. Chapati ecstatic, every day the same chapati is there. They may say, but you may say, no, today especially it was special. I got hot chapatis, thank you. You know, so you can go to the pujari and say, oh Prabhu, the dated dress was so beautiful today. Actually, it is a habit, if you keep giving compliment, it will become a second nature. Correct, no? How many of you have observed some devotee giving compliments liberally? Now, you tell the name also. Yes. Siddharth Prabhu. Who? Rishabhani Prabhu gives compliment freely, yes. Acha, he only gives. Acha, acha, acha. Yes, sir. So if you meet compliment giving devotees, then you can also catch that habit. So this is also a good thing to commit, correct, no? Okay, well, he was telling our there is one song. Neyunno palunno naatkale neeradi mayyettaludom malarettu naamudiyom. They are saying seyyadana seyyom thikkural senrodom. They are saying that we will not blaspheme about others during the month of Kartik, like that they are saying. At least one month. So his own Sachinanda Maharaj also said, you want how many of you wanted to do austerities? He asked. Everybody raised hand. I am going to request all of you to do one special austerity, he said. Everybody thought some rounds will increase, chanting, this, that, and so. During this one month, don't find fault with anyone, he said. They said, that's all. They said, that's all, you do and see. You know, even in mind also you should not think. He said, then people understood. Within the next 15 minutes, they found fault. It's very difficult. So, it's a good austerity to perform. Where are we? Which sloka we were in? 10th or 11th? 10th, yeah. Up to 14 you can read now. Parvatyuvacha. Shri Parvatyuvacha. Ayam kimaduna loke. Shasta dandadara prabhu. Asmat vidanam dushtanam. Nirlajjanam cha viprakrit.
The goddess Parvati said, alas, has this upstart now received a post from which to punish shameless person like us? Has he been appointed ruler, carrier of rod of punishment? Is he now the only master of everything?
She is using the word, is this upstart now received a post? Post is Shasta, from which to punish the shameless persons like us, Nirlajjam, Dushtanam. This fellow is speaking as if we are Dushtas. As if we are Nirlajja people, we have no shame at all. He's speaking like that. And is he a Dandadara, carrying the rod of punishment? Is he a Prabhu, the Supreme Lord? Is he Master? Like that she is challenging. Then she is saying for Na Veda Dharmam Kila Padmayoni Na Brahma Putra Bhrugunaradadyaha Na vai kumara kapilo manushcha yeno nishedantyati vartinam haram.
Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower, does not know the principles of religion, nor do the great saints like Bhrugu, Narada, nor the four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumar. Manu and Kapila have also forgotten the religious principles. I suppose it to be because of this that they have not tried to stop Lord Shiva from behaving improperly.
Even chastisement also is giving, shastrically chastising. She is quoting so many great personalities. What she is saying is, aray, these great souls are there. They didn't come and stop Shiva. And they are all very close to Shiva also, all these great personalities. When they are not stopping, you think you are a great personality, that you are, you know, you are coming and stopping like this. Yesham anudyaya padabja yugmam jagat gurum mangala mangalam swayam yakshatra bandhu paribhuya surin prashasti drishtas tadayam hi dandyaha.
This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and the spiritual master of entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished.
Purport.
All the members of the assembly were exalted Brahmanas and self-realized souls. But they did not say anything about conduct of Lord Shiva, who was embracing the goddess Parvati on his lap. Chitraketu nonetheless criticized Lord Shiva, and therefore the opinion of Parvati was that he should be punished.
Nayamarhati Vaikuntha Padamulo Pasarpanam Sambhavitamati Stabdaha Sadubi Paryupasitam.
This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important.
Yeah, Prabhupada.
If a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of Lord's lotus feet. Again, this
Prabhupada is giving again the Trinada Pishanichana. He is quoting again. And then after that he is saying, and last line of the purport, unless
one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of Lord.
Yeah. So this is 14. Read the theme.
If a devotee thinks he is advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath Lord's lotus feet.
Yeah. Now, when we grow in our devotional service, objectively also, somebody may observe and see that this fellow has spent so many years and is more ripe in devotional service, mature, while that fellow is a neophyte. So, objectively also it appears that, you know, I am more senior and advanced than him. We may feel like that, and that is also an anartha. Why? Because even though a person might have spent many years and grown up on realization, at his platform, he feels that he is having several deficiencies, which he only can observe himself in one's own. So those deficiencies make a person feel that he is insignificant. That is one thing. Another thing, you can see like our Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes now, he is actually anyone who takes my name, he will lose all his past credits. Like that he speaks, no? So, and also he says, one more thing he says, I am more fallen than Jagai and Madai, he says. So, and on his level he is feeling, that's one thing. Individually one is feeling. I told about this months ago, Tulasidas and Surdas and all have talked very low about themselves. For example, Tulasidas has written Ramcharitmanas and Sudas has written many, many poems in glorification of the Lord. But both of them have written statements self-deprecating themselves owing to their great humility. Surdas wrote, Morasama kaun kuti lakha lakhami, like that he wrote in his song, one of his songs. Who is there in this world like me? Who is a kutila kala kami, he is saying. Kutila means very political. Khala means one who is having hatred for other living beings. Kami means lusty rogue. Who is saying this about himself? Surdas. And Tulasidas, what he said, when after I die, when I am carried to hell by the Yamakinkaras, in the hell, all the residents of hell will see me coming and they all will loudly cry, alas, alas, a dangerous fellow is being brought, how will we live in the hell now? Like that they will say. Like that he said. Which means I am far more dangerous than all the fellows in the hell put together. So when I am entering hell, they will all say like this, like that Tulasidas says. So one fellow read this, what Tulasidas says and what Surda says, he went to Gandhi and said, my Lord Gandhi, why these great souls are talking so bad about themselves? That fellow said, but we don't feel so bad about ourselves. The man said, Gandhi said, see, you have a different scale, they have a different scale, he said. What is the meaning of that? We people think only when we do some big blunder, then only it is a blunder. Otherwise, if some small blunders we do, we don't take it seriously. For example, if you have a pure white dhoti, you put one black spot in that, everybody can see it visibly, correct, no? So the heart of Surdas, Tulasidas is like a pure white dhoti. So even in their mind they commit some sin, they consider that very prominent. On the other hand, common people are like lungi. In lungi you put a black dot, he says, no, I don't see any black dot. Yeah, in Lungi, can you identify where you put? Therefore, common people, even though they commit many, many blunders and violence and breaking regulatory principles, everything, they still think, I am all right. They don't feel any problem at all. But great souls, like for example, Madhavendra Puri, when he went to the Kshirsar Gopinath temple, when the sweet rice was going to be offered to Lord, at that time he had a thought. He just thought that, I want to see how that sweet rice tastes so that I can make for my Gopal. And then when he understood it is a bhoga, it is not yet offered to Lord, so he cursed himself. He said, alas, what a fool I am. Before it is even offered to Lord, I am meditating on eating it. What a sinful person. He left the place immediately. So he is considering a mental offense to be so serious. But we commit verbal and physical offense and still we think everything is all right. Because of actually gross consciousness. That is the reason, main reason. One thing can be said, the Lord in the heart gets awakened more and more as one becomes more and more conscious, conscientious, we call it in English. More and more conscientious and more alert, more and more sensitive. At the time one can even pay attention to the sound coming out of her mouth. What am I speaking? Is it appropriate speech? Is it appropriate action? So one can even study the thoughts. Where are my thoughts flowing? Is it proper? So great souls actually observe their thoughts only. So even if a thought goes slightly deviated from Lord's will, a great soul will condemn oneself. You see? Like that. So because they have a very fine-tuned consciousness. So they are, that's what Gandhi said, they think in terms of millimicron or, nanomicron or whatever. That level they think like millimicron meter, they see. And we see in meters or kilometers. Like that he was saying, that's true. So for only fine-tuned devotees can become humble. They can observe. Of course, somebody is externally humble because of their qualities they bring from birth, from previous life. Of course, they have to work on many other qualities. But that genuine humility, dainya, we call it in Sanskrit. The word dainya is not inferiority complex. Inferiority complex is actually false pride. Because the real meaning of dainya means, His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj said this, a truly humble person claims he is fallen, but nobody around him believes he is fallen. Because all people around him knows he is a very, very great person. Like Suridas Tulasidas, they say like this, do you think people will believe them? People will say, hey, no. What a great Mahatma Purushas they are, Mahatma devotees. That is called Dainyata. Like Kaviraj Goswami says, I am so fallen, will you believe it? No. You will actually know that he is a Mahatma, great soul. But people who have inferiority complex, they claim they are fallen to attract the popularity of the people. And people know they are actually fallen. You understand? They have problems. But they claim to be. And also, one example I told some time ago, probably about 5-6 years ago, someone, Saffron Brahmachari from somewhere came to Kunjibari temple. So he was giving a class. At the end of the class, one of the life members, Mr. Punjabi, asked a question to him. Ji, aapne aapke pravachan ke shuruaat mein kuch bola, humko bahut bura laga. Kya bura laga, bataiye. He said, aapne bola ki, main patit hoon, main adam hoon, main shudra hoon, main tuchh vyakti hoon. Ye sab aapne bola, humko achha nahi laga. Aap to mahatma purush hain, bhagwe kapde pehne hain, achha pravachan bhi diya aapne. Aap itna अपने बारे में आपने बोला मैं शूद्र हूँ, मैं चंडाल हूँ, मैं पतित हूँ, अदम हूँ, ये सब बोलना नहीं था आपको, हमको अच्छा नहीं लगा हमको, he said. Then the devotee told him, देखिए अगर कोई प्रवचन दे रहा हो तो शुरुआत में इस तरह बोलना पड़ता है उनको. ऐसा नहीं कि हम इतना पतित हैं, अदम हैं. अगर हम इतना पतित हैं, अदम हैं, तो हमको इधर क्यों बिठाया है? समझा ना आपने? He said, हमको बिठाया है इधर, हम बोल रहे हैं. अगर अधिकारी लोगों को ही बिठाया जाता है, हमारे अंदर अगर अधिकार नहीं है तो हमारे आपका अध्यक्ष को पूछिए क्यों बिठाया उन्होंने इनको हमको बोलने के लिए. थोड़ा आप थोड़ा अकल चाहिए, थोड़ा समझ लेना चाहिए इसको. ऐसे वैष्णवों के समूह में ऐसे बोलना बोलते हैं लोग शुरुआत में, हम भी बोल दिया ऐसे. लेकिन आपने प्रवचन सुन लिया, हमारा स्टैंडर्ड पता चल गया आपको, ऐसा मत सोचिए कि हम ऐसे. So that goes to show that he got inferiority complex. He got fearful that maybe he will actually think I am fallen. Correct, no? So great souls are, yeah, yes, Prabhu. Is the mic turned?
When Chitraketu kind of blasphemed Lord Shiva kept quiet. He smiled. And here when Mother Parvati is also speaking, yes, and it's quite visible,
yes,
she is already getting angry. She's about to curse.
Yes.
Again, Lord Shiva is keeping quiet.
Yes.
And after this episode, Lord Shiva is going to instruct Mother Parvati.
Correct.
You know about the great qualities of Vaishnava and Chitraketu.
Yeah, correct.
So, two angles to it. Why? First is, why did just kept quiet through the
why he didn't stop her?
And second is, what do we learn from this behavior of Lord Shiva? You discuss about why he kept quiet for Chitraketu. Why did he keep quiet in the case of Parvati?
Yeah. My understanding was, Shiva being a Parama Vaishnava, he is in touch with Lord Vasudeva always. Satvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam, one verse says. So he knows that Lord has a greater plan through this pastime. You know, he is going to make Chitraketu into Vritrasura, and there are many more lessons to be taught to the world there. So Lord Shiva thought of not interfering in between Lord's plan. He just remained an observer. When Chitraketu spoke to him, he smiled. He didn't take offense. When Parvati gave a curse, he remained silent, knowing well Lord has a greater plan, grand plan. He allowed it. And then later on, he instructed Parvati for all of us to know the greatness of a Vaishnava. You know, he later on instructed. And the great souls actually are very much aligned with the Lord. Lord inspires them how to act at different times. When they would protest, when they will not protest, because their senses are activated by Lord. They are like puppets in Lord's hands. So we can know that their actions are perfect. Correct. Even when Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva didn't protest. He just got up and walked out. You know, in this particular case, he smiled to indicate that the offense wasn't an offense. It was just a joking thing. Therefore, Siddhas also didn't take it seriously. And now we may ask, when Parvati cursed him, he could have stopped his wife and said, wait a minute, he didn't offend me, why are you cursing? You know, please spare him. If he does that, he will interfere with Lord's plan. Because Lord had a greater plan that Chitraketu did have some tinge of pride, you know, due to which he considered himself to be more sense-controlled and more austere than even Lord Shiva. He had that audacity to instruct Shiva. So, one has to be very careful in one's life. Sometimes a junior can become very materially successful. For example, some junior can become very learned in all the Acharya's commentaries. He can learn Sridhara Swami, he can learn Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in a very short time. So he may be only 25 years old there. He may become so learned. And there may be a devotee in the temple 35 or 40 years old who might have read only Prabhupada's commentary. So does it make this junior very great? So in the same manner, we find that sometimes the skilled juniors start imagining themselves to be more smarter and more spiritually advanced than the unskilled seniors. So the skills, including oratory skills, you know, other practical skills and all, these are all superficial actually. The real thing is the realization and advancement in spiritual life. So, therefore Prabhupada writes one statement in Daksha's section. He writes, Daksha was proud of his material opulences and he failed to recognize Shiva's spiritual opulences. So, because he had material opulences, he thought of himself to be superior to Shiva. But Shiva had spiritual opulences, of which he was blind. Therefore, he committed offense. And this is one repeating theme in all the scriptures, you will find. You know, the people with spiritual opulence often look like avadutas. They look simple. But the people with material opulence commit offenses to them. Like in Kaviraj Goswami's brother committed an offense to Meniketan Ramdas. That pastime also we read like this. Similarly, for Nityanand Prabhu also, Ramchandra Khan committed an offense to Nityanand Prabhu, not knowing Nityanand Prabhu's exalted spiritual position. Correct, no? Yeah. So, we can understand that Shiva's smiling shows that Shiva is not affected. by the joking of Chitraketu. Not that he took it very seriously. And the sages followed Shiva's behavior, understanding that. They didn't plug their ears and run away. They didn't think it was that serious. Although Chitraketu's speech was mild from one point of view, as Shiva responded to that, still Prabhupada does not leave committing on this point, that based on Acharya's, he says that there was a tinge of pride, thinking that I am more sense controlled, Shiva is not. And he had the audacity to instruct the Parama Vaishnava. So he needed some kind of, you know, rectification program, which was served by Parvati Mother. So like that we can say, because Prabhupada writes in the purport.
The second part, Lord Shiva being senior to both, and he keeping quiet, does it have any lesson in terms of Vaishnava dealings and relationship between
senior and junior? Oh, that I told. That means keeping quiet means why he didn't tell Parvati not to curse him. Because he knows Lord Vasudeva's plan. Therefore, he didn't respond. In case Lord Vasudeva had a different plan for Chitraketu, he would have interfered. Shiva would have interfered. Shiva would have told, hey, wait a minute, Parvati. He just laughed. Now he has another very big project to do. So don't interfere with him. Don't you take your curse back, he would have told him. But he didn't, because he must be aware of what is Lord doing. So he is like a puppet in Lord's hands. Thank you. Yeah. So read the theme, 8th theme. Acha, you read it? Okay, read it.
If a devotee thinks he is advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the Lord's lotus feet.
Yeah. So especially if we are young in devotional service, we become puffed up or proud about our accomplishments, surely. Little or big or whatever. So akinchana, the word means one who considers himself poverty stricken. Poverty stricken of what? He feels that I am actually very poor in terms of Vaishnava qualities. He feels that I have no good qualities. So how do we know we have no good qualities? Read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 12 to 20. Advesta, Sarvabhutana, Maitra, Karuna, Yevacha, Nirmamo, Nirahankar. If you read those qualities, we see that if we make a list of those qualities and try to check how much we possess those qualities, we lack a lot. Only thing is we are unaware. Similarly, make a list of 26 Vaishnava qualities. Once I made 26 Vaishnava qualities and checked, let me just star mark some of the qualities which I don't have. And I ended up star marking most of them. You know, because out of the 26. So when we realize I am not possessing many of these qualities, similarly go to the 13th chapter, 8 to 12. Amanittam, Madambittam, Ahimsa, Kshantirardivam, Acharya, Upasana. So we can list the qualities and check where all I have to improve. That will make us actually humble. Then the first step in spiritual life is admit our lack of Vaishnava qualities. That means, now be aware of it, admit it in front of the deities, in front of the Lord, and then present oneself as akinchana, one who is poverty stricken of good qualities. He says in that song, you know, Amar Jeevan Sada Paperata Nahi ko punyera lesha, Amar jivan sada paperata, Nahi ko punyera lesha. Pare re udvega diyachi ekata, diyachi jivera klesha. Pare re udvega Deyachi ekata deyachi jivere kle. So, in that song, he is saying, Amara jivan sada paperata. Nahi ko punya relesh. There is not an iota of punya in my life. Always I am stooped in sin. And he is saying, Parere udvega deyachi ekata. He is saying, I delight in giving trouble to other devotees. He is saying, deyachi jivere klesh. So, and then he will say in the next following paragraphs and all, he will say, what are the different bad qualities I have? That's a very good song for contemplation. So we have to think about being aware and admitting the lack of good qualities will make one humble. This is a secret for humility. And that will not keep us puffed up. For example, even though I may have some skills with which I can accomplish certain things, but if I lack in the Vaishnava qualities, I can't attract the Lord's attention, because Lord cannot be attracted by skills. That feeling produces humility. So once I heard my spiritual master say, humility is honesty. He said, what is humility? What is honesty? Honestly aware of our weaknesses and shortcomings and our lack of good qualities. So therefore, this is one way to work on attaining humility, because humility, many definitions are given by Prabhupada. One definition Prabhupada says, not anxious to be honored by others. When you know you have not many good qualities, then why will we hanker for respect from others? Correct? Another quality he says is humility. What he says, definition of humility? Apart from not being anxious for honored by others, wanting to improve, considering oneself insignificant, thinking less about oneself and thinking more about Krishna. Humility. What happened to when Chitraketu was, he had accomplished some successes in life. That success increased some pride, he says, and that's called puffed up. And one is unfit to sit beneath the Lord's lotus feet, he says. Actually, this is one great challenge in devotional service. As soon as you become little proud, Lord will disappear from the devotee. Like they said that the gopis, while dancing with Krishna, every gopi thought, Krishna is only with me. And they thought, Krishna is with no one else. And they started thinking, I am very privileged that Krishna chose to only accept me and not anyone else. And next moment, Krishna disappeared. So later, when Krishna reappeared, the gopis asked, why you disappeared? So he told them, when I was with all of you, you all became divided, because you thought, I am better than that gopi because Krishna is with me. So you all became individual players, and you all thought that I am better than others, and I don't need anybody else. I have Krishna and I am happy. You thought like that. So Lord said, this is not what I wanted. You were not cooperating with one another. Then when I disappeared, you all became together, you all became one team searching for Krishna. All the gopis became very thick and friendly with each other. All were crying because they were sharing the suffering. At that time, you are asking the trees and the plants and the deers, did you see Krishna? And they sang the Gopi Gitam together in a chorus, they were singing. Now you became united when I was away. Therefore, I went away, he says. And you also became humble. Correct, no? When I was with you were proud, and you wanted to be independent. Whereas when I disappeared, you became united and you became humble. Amazing, no? See? Like that he said. So, therefore, that's a great lesson from Chitraketu's, you know, little erratic behavior, which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam for us to learn a very important lesson. Chitraketu has seen Lord Sankarshan face to face. After that, this incident happened. So we can take a great caution. No matter how many strides we have, how many steps we have taken and gone to great heights in our devotional accomplishments, no one can be overconfident that I will never commit fault, you know. So it is said, even a chairman's pencil has a rubber. What is the meaning of that? I can make mistake. Then he has to rub it, correct, no? So that was the 14th one. So we can finish one more. He is asking now, overall thing, is the ultimate teaching of all teachings is humility. That is, see, one thing is, Shastras emphasize different things in different places. In this particular place, humility is stressed, and we can take a solid lesson, because Shiva is a Parama Vaishnava, and Chitraketu's behavior is said to be not befitting. So we have also many devotees with whom we deal with. So one lesson we learned from this pastime is how to deal with devotees. How should we have a dealing? Even if, therefore I spent a lot of time in jovial relationships in the name of being jovial and friendly, how not to joke about them or offend them or belittle them, correct, na? So like that, there are many lessons. One of the lessons is humility. That while dealing with great souls, one should be humble and not be puffed up by one's own accomplishments. That is last lesson we learnt now. Now, see, Parvati is giving a curse in the 15th verse. Ataha papi yasim yonim asurim yahi durmate yateha bhuyo mahatam na karta putra kilbisham. Yeah.
O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons, so that you will not commit such an offense again toward exalted, saintly persons in this world.
See, in the last line, she is using the word putra, my dear son. She is calling the word putra, which goes to show, in the Vedic life, even when people chastise somebody, they will chastise with affection for helping the person to elevate. Only then the person receiving chastisement can, you know, take the chastisement in a correct spirit. Like when you have an aluminium vessel, you know, they put the hand inside and they hit with a hammer outside. If you don't put the hand, the hammer is a little sharp hammer. You've seen that aluminium vessel, they hit, tuck, 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 all that. But if you don't put the hand and you hit only, what will happen? It will make a hole in that. Therefore, it is said, apna banakar dantna chahiye. Andar haath dalna, apna banakar. Aur ye dantna. So, in this way, my son, she is telling, but she is giving chastisement also at the same time. Which means, I am giving you a chastisement for your good, for your rectification. Like that she is telling. This is a purport, very important purport.
One should be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, of whom Lord Shiva is the best. While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described an offense at the lotus feet of Vaishnava as Hati Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava.
Mother, I'll show you one video of a mad elephant. You'll be amazed. My request is, don't get frightened. If any of you is frightened, you catch the hands of your friend.
Yeah!
becomes a friend. And after that, what happened? Then and all the people are running and all. He picked up the mouth, you know, in his trunk, and the other fellow was trying to relieve him. But this fellow kicked off that fellow also. And he took the mouth and then came to this side, practically stripped him off, you know, and he put him on the ground practically with the trunk. He was crushing him actually practically. And basically he wanted to ensure that he is dead. He became violent and probably he must have maintained some anger against the mouth. Vengeance he must have maintained, because the elephants remember a lot. Even if a small boy did something wrong, after he goes old, you saw that video, no? Pat, 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 he hits him, and even after he grows big. He maintained some vengeance, so he hit him, you saw. And then after he ensured that this fellow is gone, practically dead, he's finished. Then he went behind and then he hit one of his other fellow elephants. He knocked him down and that fellow rolled, you saw. And after that, what he did, he pushed from behind. And he's pushing him into a mandap where there's no place only there. And that fellow went inside, his height was exactly matching with the... And he was slowly trying to move inside, all people got up. Correct, no? This fellow tried to squeeze him inside that the small place. So what lesson I derived, I will tell you from this. When I saw this, see, the mouth is a person who controls the elephant. The elephant represents our mind. Our mind is compared to elephant. You will see this in Krishna's lotus feet, there is Ankush. You know? The Ankush represents Krishna's lotus feet has the ability to control our elephant-like mind. But when we don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then we become like a mad elephant. And a mad elephant, one of the things that mad elephant did, he kicked off his own master. You see that he threw him off and he practically finished him. Like that. After that you find he is hitting the other elephant and pushing him, rolling him on the ground, pushing him into the small mandapa. And he went berserk, mad actually. The only thing he can do with such elephant is to shoot him down. Of course, I don't know whether they had the guns at the time, I don't know, in that place. Which one? This must have happened in Kerala. So they have one big festival. Two places it could have happened, any one. In Hastinapur and Kerala. In two places, lot of elephants are brought. Sometimes 300-400 elephants are also brought. Sometimes. Such kinds of festivals happen. But the idea is that sometimes something secretes in the elephant's head. At that time he goes mad like this. He goes crazy like this. Similarly, a devotee who is not firmly sheltered in Krishna's lotus feet can go mad. Hati Mata Aparad, we say, no? This is an example of Hati Mata Aparad. How when the mind becomes mad, one is not controlled in the mind, one can speak any improper things, one can do improper things. So when I saw this video for the first time, I developed a deep fear about my own mind. We should be very careful with our mind and not let the elephant of our mind. See, our mind is also very mighty and extremely powerful. It can do great things, it can also do great damages also to ourselves and to others also. You know? And Krishna's lotus feet has the ankush to control our mind. So we have to remain safe and secure in Krishna's lotus feet and ensure that at no point of time we become careless in avoiding that good shelter. Correct, no? Because as long as you are in good shelter, you are safe. Otherwise, when the mind becomes uncontrolled, you can't control it, others can't help you, and ultimately there are many people who have left the company of devotees and they have gone out again into the world of matter. And they are leading lives like non-devotees. And there are people. And there are people who have fought against multiple devotees for the sake of egoistic satisfaction. And they are nowhere now. They would have gone to great heights in devotional life. But their mind tricked them, cheated them, and took them out of the movement, spiritual movement. Because of some fight, they left the temple, they left the association of devotees, went back to Karmi life, because they wanted to prove that I am right, you are wrong, instead of improving themselves. So we should not try to prove, we should try to improve. Improve is just the opposite of proving, you see. So, here you find he is trying to destroy the mouth also, and he is trying to create trouble to the other elephant also. You can see that. And again, he is looking for more opportunities. What else I can do? Sad then? Correct, no? So, therefore, he is saying it's a Hathi Mata Aparad. Prabhupada said, where he said that? In which? What is the purport number? 15, yeah, correct. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. So, what are the different reasons a person commits Vaishnava Parada? One of the reasons we read in Chitraketu now, when one thinks I am a very advanced devotee, you know, and I am independent, I don't need any mercy or you know, dependence or shelter of anyone. I am the most knowledgeable and you know best informed. This kind of imagination, which that leads to false pride, and the false pride makes one belittle others, you know, think high of oneself and think low of others. Then one may commit aparadha. That's one way, correct? No. Another reason why the aparadha comes is due to envy of a highly accomplished devotee. If somebody is becoming very popular, very famous, and people are recognizing them, and people are surrounding them, and people are lifting them up, then another fellow thinks, oh, why nobody looks at me? Why nobody talks about me? Now, let me bring that fellow down by talking ill of him, so one may blaspheme him. Like when Srila Prabhupada became a success by going abroad and preaching in America and coming back with American disciples, Gaudiya Math people saw that, you know, we are here, we have been doing something, but nothing like this. What is doing? He is shaking the whole earth. Doing. So some of them praised, like His Holiness Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj and His Holiness Puri Maharaj, they all praised. But there were other god brothers who became envious of Prabhupada. One of them said, actually this Swami Maharaj, you know, this Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was a businessman. He just knew the knack of how to make the spiritual business abroad. He made the spiritual life into a business, therefore he succeeded. So Prabhupada said, okay, even if I am very business minded and smart, is it wrong to use my business mind in Krishna service and expand the movement? Like that Prabhupada said, you see. So there were envious people also like that. People envious of Prabhupada's accomplishment and achievement. Similarly amongst us also, if we become envious of somebody's accomplishment, then one has to again chant more, hear more, read more and purify our heart. Otherwise, one may tend to blaspheme the devotees, talk ill of them, behind their back, and one can become like this elephant. Right? So after seeing the elephant, nobody will want to become like this elephant, correct? No? Actually, I got a good video clip for mad elephant offense. Isn't it? Sri Prabhupada ki